Happy Easter. Happy First Communion weekend. Happy Baptism weekend. It's just awesome. Okay. Good teachers always review things. Good teachers always review things. Jesus today, because he is the best teacher, he is God himself, he is God in the flesh, is reviewing what he had already taught the apostles. Listen to what he says. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Jesus is reviewing with the apostles everything that he had taught them about how he was in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. And he's reviewing this because good teachers review things. Well, I want to be a good teacher. I'm not Jesus, but I want to be a good teacher, and so I want to review some things. So this morning, I would like to review with you some things that I've been teaching over the last 2 months about how the Mass is the representation of Calvary. How every time we celebrate Mass, it is Calvary and it is the tomb. Right here before us, we have an image of Jesus crucified and we have an empty tomb. And on this First Communion Sunday, I want to, in the presence of these beautiful children, review what on earth we're doing and why this is so important. So let's begin. If Jesus is opening the scriptures to them to reveal who he himself is, which he is, we have to remember that today's gospel, Luke 24, begins with the road to Emmaus. What does Jesus do there? Two disciples are leaving the city. Why are they leaving the city? Because they no longer believe. They've given up. And who do they encounter on the road? They encounter Jesus, but they don't recognize him. And Jesus does the same thing that he does here. He begins speaking to these two disciples that have lost their faith about how he was present in all of scripture. We have to remember, because I think it's sometimes hard for us, when Jesus is going through the scriptures, there's only the Old Testament. There is no New Testament. There's no letter from Paul. There's no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Jesus is revealing to them how he is present in scripture, he's going through the Old Testament. So let's do that real quick. Who are Adam and Eve's children? Who are Adam and Eve's children? Cain offered vegetables. What did Abel offer? Abel offered a spotless lamb. Abel offered a spotless lamb. God didn't accept the vegetables. He accepted what? He accepted the spotless lamb. When I say Abel, say spotless lamb. Abel? Spotless lamb. Abel? Spotless lamb. Abel? Spotless lamb. Only first communicants, I want to hear you. Abel? Oh, boys and girls, come on. Boys and girls, when I say Abel, I want to hear you say spotless lamb. Abel?
Spotless lamb.
Abel?
Spotless lamb.
What did Abel offer? He offered a spotless lamb. Why? Why did God reject the vegetables? Clearly, every mother here knows that God loves vegetables. God wasn't rejecting vegetables. God rejected the sacrifice of Cain because it wasn't a prefigurement of the only Savior of the world and the only way for us to be saved, which is a spotless lamb. And who is that spotless lamb? Jesus. So boys and girls, when I say Abel, what are you supposed to say? Say that again, boys and girls. Abel, spotless lamb. So now we move on to Abraham. Abraham is the father of all of Judaism. Abraham is asked by God to offer his son in sacrifice. Isaac, we heard in our first reading today about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is asked to kill his son, Isaac. Does Abraham do that? No, because God doesn't want us to kill our children. This is why we fight abortion. God loves life. But Abraham, because he's a just and righteous and holy man, know that God demands a sacrifice. So what does Abraham do? Abraham offers a sacrifice. He finds a lamb caught in a thicket, a lamb with a crown of thorns, a lamb trapped in thorns, and he offers the lamb with a crown of thorns in the place of his son, Isaac. What do you call that? A replacement sacrifice. Abraham offered a replacement sacrifice. Who is our replacement sacrifice? Who should die for your sins? You should. You should die for your sins, and you should go to hell. But you don't, because we have a replacement sacrifice. Who is our replacement sacrifice?
Jesus.
And just as Abraham offered a replacement sacrifice, which was a lamb, Jesus offers himself as a replacement sacrifice for you and for me. Boys and girls, when I say Abraham, say replacement sacrifice really loud. Abraham. Abraham. Let's hear everyone say it. Abraham. Let's see how smart you are. Everybody together. Abel. Abel. Abraham. That then brings us to Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Abraham wins a big battle victory, and as he is coming back, he encounters Melchizedek, who is a king and a priest, a king and a priest who offers the sacrifice of bread and wine, a king and a priest who offers a sacrifice of bread and wine. Boys and girls, what king do you know that offers a sacrifice of bread and wine? Jesus, right? Jesus offers a sacrifice of bread and wine, and that's what you're going to receive today, because that bread and wine is going to become his body and his blood. But Melchizedek in the Old Testament is the prefigurement of the priest and the king who will offer a sacrifice of bread and wine to save the whole world. Boys and girls in the front row, when I say Melchizedek, I want you to say priest and king. Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Everybody in the church, Melchizedek. Total review. Abel. Abraham, Melchizedek. But Jesus actually didn't just talk about the prophets. He didn't just talk about certain scriptures. He actually talked about Moses and the law. So let's talk about Moses. The Israelite people are all enslaved. They're enslaved in Egypt. And to be set free from slavery, there is only one way for them to be set free from slavery. God actually sent 9 other ways, but none of them worked. Plagues and locusts and darkness and water that turn into blood. There's only one way that the Israelite people are saved. And what is the only way they're saved? When Moses sacrifices a lamb. And what are they required to do? They're required to eat that lamb, and they're required to put that blood on their doorposts. It is the Passover lamb. It is the Passover lamb that saves the Israelite people. Moses gives them the Passover lamb. Now, John chapter 6 makes it pretty clear. Jesus, who is greater than Moses because he is God, he says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. Adults in this congregation, parents of these first communicants, you are fulfilling John chapter 6 today, because Jesus says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you. And that is the fulfillment of Moses, because the Israelites, if they did not eat the flesh of the lamb and put the blood on their doorposts, they would die that night. Their firstborn sons would die, and they wouldn't have made it out of Egypt. Thank you. Thank you. Because today these children will receive the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, and they will have eternal life because of that. With Moses, we have the Passover lamb. What do we have with Moses? What do we have with Moses? Cute kids in the front row. What do we have with Moses? Amazing. So when Jesus says to us today, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Where is it all fulfilled? In the upper room. Where Jesus, on the night before he died, took bread and said, this is my body. And he became present. And then at the end of the meal, after the meal, Jesus says, this is my blood. When you separate body from blood, you have death. And the representation of Jesus' death is made present before us, because Jesus is not a liar and he is present there, crucified before us. Because when you separate body from blood, you have death. But then, after we pray the Our Father, we break the host. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in what? In the breaking of the bread. And then the priest takes a part of the host and he puts it into the chalice, which means The body and blood are brought back together, and what do we have? We have resurrection. Body and blood separated, death. Body and blood brought back together in the breaking of the bread, you have resurrection. And welcome to the representation of Calvary, welcome to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which means welcome to our salvation. Jesus died 2,000 years ago, but he didn't die 2,000 years ago just for us to think about him or for us to have a Bible study about him. He died 2,000 years ago and gave us on the night that he was betrayed, the Last Supper, so that we can be at the representation of his death and his resurrection. We can participate in his death and his resurrection until he comes again. That's what we've been doing for 2,000 years. And this morning, you beautiful children are being inducted into 2,000 years of history, tradition, devotion, and faith. It's amazing. We give you the greatest treasure of the church today, boys and girls. The Catholic Church has no greater treasure than Jesus himself. And we give you that gift today. Boys and girls, in front of me right here, this guy's name, his name is Saint Tarsissus. Can I hear all the cute kids in the front row say Tarsissus? Say that three times. Yeah, it's kind of hard. St. Tarsissus is the patron saint of first communicants. He was at Mass, boys and girls, in the city of Rome around the year 200 in the catacombs. The catacombs were underground caverns that the Christians dug by hand. He was down there at the celebration of Holy Mass. And there were a lot of Christians that were in prison because it was illegal to be a Christian. And they needed someone to bring the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus to them in the jail. And they needed someone who was brave and courageous to bring Jesus to those who were in prison. And little Tarsissus said, "Send me, I'll go." And they entrusted to this tiny little boy the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. And he carried Jesus out into the streets of Rome, and he ran into a bunch of bullies who beat him up. And he died that day, protecting Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He's a martyr for the Eucharist. When those bullies rolled him over, his hands were empty. And those boys who beat him up all converted to the faith and said a miracle happened that day. And the reason why there was nothing in his hands is that Jesus worked a miracle and he vanished and went up to heaven and he took Tarsissus' soul with him. And that's why Tarsissus is the patron saint of first communicants. Boys and girls, I can guarantee you when you come out of this church today, there aren't going to be a bunch of bullies. But I am going to tell you that today we're going to give you the greatest treasure and prize of the church, and I do want you to take it out of the church, but I want you to share Jesus with the world in your love, in your compassion, by you becoming Jesus and living your faith in a profound way. We entrust the greatest gift that the church has to you today, and it is a great joy, a great honor, and we are blessed.